Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Q4 and year-ended 31st March 2022 earnings conference call of Steelcast Limited, hosted by Orient Capital. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. We have with us on the call today Mr. Chetan Tamboli, Chairman and Managing Director of Steelcast Limited, along with Mr. Subhash Sharma, Senior Vice President, Finance, and Mr. Umesh Bhatt, Company Secretary. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chetan Tamboli, Chairman and Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon and a very warm welcome on behalf of Steelcast Limited to all the participants. Thank you very much for joining us today to discuss the Steelcast Q4 and FY 2022 results. With me are Mr. Sharma, our Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Umesh Bhatt, our Company Secretary, and also our investor relations partner, Orient Capital. I hope everyone got an opportunity to go through our financial results and investor presentation, which have been uploaded on the stock exchange as well as on the company's website. Just to give you all a brief history of Steelcast, we are in business of steel casting since 1960. We started off as a partnership firm and then got converted into a private limited company in 1972, and later became a public limited company in 1994. The company enjoys a premier position in the steel casting industry. It manufactures wide range of casting products, including manganese steel, high chrome ferroalloys, catering to diverse industrial sectors like cement, mining, earthmoving equipment, industrial machinery, construction machinery, and railways. Since 1976, our company's in-house R&D is recognized by Department of Science and Technology. The company is involved in manufacturing high-quality products through R&D activities across product development, technology upgradation, and process improvements. The R&D team at Steelcast has hands-on foundry experience that combined with in-depth knowledge of latest metallurgy and foundry technology. The department is equipped with state-of-the-art equipment, digital calculations to monitor mechanical and chemical testing results, having NABL accreditation. A modern version software to simulate solidification behavior of casting and role of process parameters in heat treatment is being utilized for new product development. Dedicated sets of equipment are installed to carry out testing of different sands, including resin coated and no bake sands, and test critical parameters of quenching media, water, and polymer. A strong subsection in R&D allows us to conduct complete failure analysis and gives latest technical inputs based on spectrography and SEM and EDS reports. For Steelcast, safety comes first. In this pandemic situation, the health, safety, and well-being of people has continued to be at the heart of our COVID-19 response. Being a preferred steel casting player, the company enjoys long-term standing relationship with globally renowned marquee clients and exporting to more than 15 plus countries. The company is a two-star export house, successfully competing with other international players across the globe. The company's product processes, safety standards, and environment-friendly mechanism meets with global standards and different certifications, speaking volume of our capabilities. The company continues catering to main sectors like earthmoving, mining, mineral processing, construction, railway, steel plants. The company is looking for further opportunities in other industrial segments and products. Going ahead, we are witnessing strong traction for our products with an order book for the next few quarters. The company has developed new products to cater to newer segments and create a wide product portfolio for the existing customers. The company's constant endeavor is to contribute to defense of the nation by partnering with Indian defense units. This effort is continuing and we expect improvement in the sector considering the government's push through schemes like Atmanirbhar Bharat, Make in India, etc. The management is continuously working towards the business plan to not only come out of the dependency on mining, earthmoving, and construction equipment industry, but also to scale up the turnover in next 5 years through product development and business development. In order to achieve the business plan, the company has already initiated several rationalization plans since past 2 years. The highlights of these measures are reduced manpower by increasing productivity, periodical evaluation of power demand to ensure saving in fixed costs, purchase of power through open access, reduced consumption norms of few key materials, reduction in internal rejections, reduction in throughput time for processing castings. The company is entering into an agreement for setting up during the year FY23 a renewable power plant which would be a hybrid of wind and solar of 4.5 megawatt capacity. The investment for this project will be through a special purpose vehicle created specifically for it. The company expects to have considerable long-term savings in power costs arising from this project. In addition to this, the company is also planning to set up a 5 megawatt solar power plant in Gujarat region for captive consumption. We are also planning to introduce new products with existing customers, also entering into newer sectors, developing new products for new customers. For each of the new segments to develop, the company has already identified potential clients and potential parts to be sold to them. In its continuous efforts to reduce concentration and dependency on mining, earthmoving and construction industry, the company has signed a long-term supply agreement with a large OEM in USA to supply steel castings for the North American railroad industry. This new agreement will help Steelcast to further consolidate the position in overseas market amidst challenging environment. The entry into North American railroad industry will help us to de-risk the business and will generate additional revenues for the company. The outreach to North American railroad industry signifies the capabilities and technological expertise in steel casting business. The steel casting covered in this agreement are in advanced stage of development, undergoing testing in North America, and will have a potential of about rupees 75 crores of volumes per year in the coming 1 to 2 years time. Considering the company's high quality standards with on-time deliveries, the management is confident to have a long-term association with this customer. It feels great pleasure that the company was able to report such a strong performance even during the challenging times. Despite COVID-related challenges, we were able to grow in terms of volumes and revenues. Revenue growth for Q4 FY22 stood at 68% and PAT growth was 117% over the same period last year. We further envisage an uptick in volumes and are optimistic of volume and realization growth for the coming FY23. Total revenue in FY22 grew by 91.5% on a year-on-year basis to 302 crores and for FY22 as against 158 crores. In Q4, we reported revenue of 93 crores, a growth of 68% year-on-year basis. Revenue as per geography, domestic revenue grew by 63% year-on-year basis and growth in exports of 121% on a year-on-year basis. EBITDA grew by 103% on a year-on-year basis with a margin expansion of 120 basis points. In Q4, we reported EBITDA of 17.6 crore as against 11.1 crores with a growth of 58.6%. PAT stood at 33.3 crores in FY22, a growth of 179% on a year-on-year basis. In Q4, reported PAT of 9.6 crores versus rupees 4.4 crores in the same period last year, with a year-on-year growth of 116.9%. Volume growth, operational efficiencies, cost rationalization efforts led to increase in overall profitability and margin expansion. Working capital days reduced marginally to 143 days from 147 days. Return on ROE for FY22 increased 23.3% versus 9.8% in FY22. ROCE for 22 also increased to 28.4% versus 13.2% in FY22. Our company incurred capex of about 29 crores in FY22 without any additional term loan. For everyone's information, we are also long-term debt-free as we repaid all our loans totaling to 22 crores in FY22. The increase in business activities has led to increase in short-term borrowings to rupees 63 crores. With this, I would request the moderator to open the floor for question and answer. And thank you very much once again for having all of you with us. Thank you again.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who has a question may please press star and one at this time. First question is on the line of Pritesh Shah from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. So this 300 crores of revenue which we see in the current year, and there was a 318 crore revenue also, which was there 4 years back. So this on this 30,000 ton of capacity, what kind of volumes do they reflect, or what kind of capacity utilization do they reflect?
On the current product mix, the full capacity will be around 28,500. Of course, as the product mix changes, the 28,500 can go to 30,000 tons also.
So what is the capacity utilization of volumes this 300 crore of revenue reflect like in FY22?
About 49%.
Okay. So theoretically, you can double your revenue on the current capacity.
Yeah, a little more than double if you see. As part of our business plan for the year FY26, we are targeting 96% with a volume of 27,500 tons.
Okay. My second and last question is, in your last year's annual report, you had categorically given growth outlook across segments and it totaled to about 260, 270 crore of revenue. Obviously, there were a few domestic line items where you had not mentioned the revenues. So, what would be your guess for FY23 in terms of volume and value growth, because you initially mentioned you have order backlog, which is giving you a 3-4 quarters visibility, so it will be very helpful if you could give us a revenue outlook for 23. And when you double or when you, you know, increase your capacity utilization, will your margins improve or you will stay at this 19-20% range?
To answer your first question, we expect substantial better performance in FY23 compared to FY22 because of robust order booking. And obviously, when the volumes grow, the operating leverage kicks in when with economies of scale. So margins would definitely have an expansion.
Okay. Do you see a 20, more than 20% volume growth in 23?
I really don't know whether we are allowed to give exact numbers or forward looking statements. But I can really tell you, with the order book we have, the FY23 will be substantially better than FY22.
Okay. So lastly, then, if you could share the order book number at the beginning this year and what was the order backlog number at the beginning last year, we'll make our own calculations based on that, sir.
As of now, in terms of value, we have orders in excess of 200 crores as of now. Mm-hmm. And the beginning of last year, we would have maybe 90 or 95 crores. Beginning of the last financial year, which would be FY21, correct.
Yeah, 21 and 22 beginning was 95 crore. 22 end and 23 beginning is 200 crores.
200 crores.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. All the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anupama Bhutra from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So I just wanted to know this 18 crore capex. So can you give us some idea about what is the purpose and in which all products the company is planning this CapEx?
Are you talking about the current year's CapEx?
Yeah, 18 crores.
Yeah, FY23. Okay.
Yeah.
A company like ours, you know, they make more than 225, 250 products. And
okay.
The product mix keeps changing in terms of volumes also. So we would always have some areas which will have bottlenecks. So this investment is purely for de-bottlenecking across the value stream of the company. And out of 18, the substantial part is, you know, to add certain machining capacities to further enhance the value addition.
Okay. Fine, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Priyank Parekh from Nurups Consultant. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So my first question is on the raw material cost. If I compare the raw material cost with the previous quarter, it has increased substantially. So wanted to understand why it has increased much. And I'm related to that, how we are seeing it to passing on to the customer?
To answer your question, since middle of 2020, the input costs have been rising continuously, and that too steeply. I have not seen in my career of input costs rising by 101% with a base of June 20 compared to 31st March 22. So if you see our last 8 quarters performance, we have been managing reasonably well and attempting to pass on most of the increase to our customer. And the reason is that with the relationship we have of over, you know, 25-30 years, we have a pre-decided sales price variation clause where if the input price increase, we get a price increase, and if there is a reduction in input price, we pass on the price reduction. And this happens quarter on quarter basis. So so we have been by and large able to, you know, pass on most of the increases. And there are costs which are not part of the pre-decided formula where we go and request them at the end of every 6 months to correct the base prices. So that also has been happening quarter on quarter basis whenever required. So we might be one of those few companies who are able to, you know, pass on. And as you said, the March quarter compared to the preceding quarter, there has been a substantial increase. But we get covered with a lag of a quarter. So whatever increase happened in January, February, March 22, we would get some effective 1st April and then effective 1st July.
Okay. Yeah, great. And second question is on the power plant that we are planning through SP. So specifically on that, how much capex we are planning for that and how we are going to fund that capex? Secondly, how much saving we are expecting, if you can quantify on that? And why we are doing it through SP? Is there any tax planning or any other consideration for doing it through SP?
Okay. The 4.5 megawatt hybrid power plant, which is a combination of wind and solar. So there is this hybrid park where the SPV is created, and there are about 6 companies who will be drawing power from this hybrid power park. Our investment there is about 4 crore rupees with the annual guaranteed savings of about 6 crore. So this is, so we are as an equity invested in that company, and we undertake to draw that power from this hybrid solar power plant. And so we are part of this SPV. And the other what we are thinking now is to put up a exclusive 5 megawatt power plant with an investment of about 18 crores, which will be in steel cast name. So we would have all the benefits of the taxation and things like that. So there the saving would be another 7.5 crores. And both this, we plan to execute this before FY23.
Okay. Okay. And on the first power plant of 4.5 megawatt, you said the saving would be 4 crores.
No, the investment would be 4 crores. The saving, the guaranteed saving is 6 crores. This is guaranteed by the supplier. But actual expected saving will be in excess of 7 crores.
Okay, 7 crore for the whole 6 companies.
7 crores for the 4.5 megawatt hybrid power plant.
No, I got that, but 7 crore, would that whole 7 crore be attributed to our company only, or would that be going to all the 6 companies
no,
which are going
to... No, this is exclusively for Steelcast Limited.
Okay, so you mean to say that on 4 crore of investment, we are going to have the saving of 7 CR?
Yes, please.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. So 7 CR per annum.
Exactly.
Captive mode.
Okay.
And this is under captive mode. Like everybody may not have this opportunity of investing 4 crores and getting benefit of 6 crores. It
okay.
is because we are going to use that power, so we have this benefit.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Hitesh from Aksa Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Could we just explain, the entire value chain or the process chain that we have in our plants? Is it a continuous casting? Because looking at the industries that you cater to does not look like, these are high volume castings that you make. So just wanted to understand, is it the continuous line casting that you have, or is it more like customized castings where you cater to specific applications, you do the designing and then do the castings?
I think the later part of your statement is correct. We are, these are all tailor-made castings made to customers' engineering drawings with their specifications. And so you cannot call this as a continuous casting process.
Okay. So in that case, is there too much of a manual intervention in the sense, is it too labor-intensive?
Yes. Or this is a labor-intensive plant. We are now close to 1,450 people, and this kind of industry does need a lot of human involvement. And unlike you have like forgings, or you have aluminium die casting, where it's more or less automated.
Sir, in that case, how easy or difficult it is to really have a scale? Because in that case, even the capacity that you just spoke about, 30,000 or 28,500, that capacity is not really, you cannot look that on a linear basis, because, depending on the number of products that we have or the kind of switchovers that we have from one product to another, the capacity may not really translate into the numbers during a particular year, correct? Is this understanding right?
Absolutely. This is a steel foundry. We are making a lot of niche products within niche markets. It's not like forgings or iron castings where the numbers run into thousands, it's completely automated. These are all specially tailor-made products, and facilities like us are only 5-6 in the world now, and that is why we have preference over other smaller players.
Okay, interesting. And sir, you know, what is driving this demand? I mean, the order book that you had mentioned is really is much significantly higher than what it was in the preceding year. And so, what is driving this demand, or which are these markets which are where you are seeing higher level of inquiries for you?
See, we are focusing on mining equipment, earthmoving equipment, construction, railways, locomotives. So, all these industries are an uptrend, and one of the reason is the commodity prices like iron, copper, aluminium, iron ore, coal. You know, the prices are lifetime highs. So, the demand of these commodities is driving the OEMs, you know, to make more equipments, and in turn, people like us. Have an uptrend. A. B. Also, during the pandemic and I would say post-pandemic now, a lot of countries have given out stimulus like US, China, to some extent in India. So, a lot of investment in infrastructure, you know, is also happening across the world. So, all these reasons put together, all our end user segments are doing extremely well, and in turn, we also benefit with the uptrend.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And just one last thing, how much time does it really take from the time you win an order, or rather from the time you make a quotation for the order and the time you deliver the goods?
Most of our customers, the relationships are, you know, as I said, 25, 30 years or above. So it's really not quotation-based. We have long-term contracts with them. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, if it's a new customer, we quote and then negotiations take place. We develop a part and supply. This whole process may take, you know, anywhere from 9 to 12 months.
Okay. So in that case, the 200 crores order that we are currently sitting on, that this will, you know, at best get executed in about 9 months' time, right? In that case, and you would also have some regular flow of orders where the execution time may be shorter than, you know, the 9-12 months that you've been.
We would, at least for this year, I know for sure, we would be sitting on this 200 crore number at any point of time, because customers keep adding to the ordering, you know. So we would have at any point of time 200 crore plus.
Got it. Thanks a lot. I'll call that in the chat.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Sir, I just need some data points. Could you share last three financial years volumes? What volumes did we sell in tonnage terms?
In terms of quantity, is about 13,823 tons. And as you know, we did about 302 crores of sales.
This 13,000 is for which year, sir?
FY22.
Oh, yeah. 302 crores sales. Okay. 21?
21, we did 7,155 tons.
Okay.
The capacity utilization of 24%.
Okay. And the year before that, 19?
We did 8,613 tons with 29% capacity utilization.
8,613.
Right.
Okay. So, you mentioned about the FY26 vision of having 27,500 tons of capacity. So what sort of EBITDA per ton improvement are you visualizing over the next 5-4 year period?
Dhaval, it will be extremely difficult to pinpoint a number, but for FY26, on the current input cost and pricing, we will do sales of 800 crores and above.
Correct. So my the way I want to understand is we are around.
So you know the current EBITDA, okay, for FY22.
Sure. So we are at around 45, 46 rupees a kilo is what the profit we make. Now, going forward, you are adding machining capacities plus product mix. You are going towards better product mix as well. So this should we see another 20-30% jump or 20% jump in our per kilo realization over the next 4 year period, or just want to understand, where in terms of our
as volume grows. As I said earlier also, the operating leverage kicks in, the benefits of economies of scale.
Mm-hmm.
So your EBITDA in terms of percentage wise will be surely better than now. Okay. And FY26 volumes of 27,500 crore, which is about 96% utilization, and on current input prices and sales prices, the sales will be in excess of 800 crores. So so there will be benefit and upward northways it will go.
Correct. And sir, over the last 1 year, which are the new product inquiries have you got? Any new client additions you have had? If you could speak on that.
See, all the investment made in FY22 and what we do in FY23 will be more or less balancing in equipment and investment in space to handle the current product mix.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any plans to increase capacities immediately, but we are watching things very closely. The geopolitics is also also having speed breakers. So we would decide somewhere end of 22 on increasing further capacities.
Got it. And so last question is 18 crore capex is 7.5 crore power plant is part of this 18 crore capex? What is the investment in power plant you mentioned?
See, the hybrid power plant where we will invest 4 crores with expected savings of, guaranteed savings of 6 crores.
Which
is not part of 18 crores. 18 crores is investment in plant and equipment to handle the current product mix and the current volumes. So if you add that two together, it will be 22 crores.
Totally 22 crores. Okay, great, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is on the line of Manav Vijay from Deep Financial. Please go ahead. Also, participants are requested to please enter star and one if you wish to ask a question.
Yes, thank you very much, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So first question from my side. So you have a total capacity of around 30,000 tons, and you were at approximately 50% in this year. So unless and until, let's say, you decide to do any capex at the end of this year, at least for next couple of years, the capex in the plant and machinery should be minimal. Would that be a safe assumption to make?
Absolutely safe assumption and the right assumption also. I just shared these numbers with you.
Correct.
Like for FY23, we'll do 18 crores. For FY24, the plan is to do 4.7 crores. FY25, we'll do 1.25 crores. And FY26, we'll do 2.31 crores.
Okay. So basically, why I'm asking this question is that the last, I would say, upcycle in 2014, when we did that large capex for one of our large customers, So unfortunately, our capex came right at the wrong moment, and then we got stuck with that capacity, and then it has taken us almost 6-7 years for us to I would say pay off that that debt. And now after and now we are seeing good times. That's why I'm just asking that since we are working at 50% utilization for next couple of years, there is no large capex unless something of, let's say, like what you mentioned of your power plant, that is certainly possible.
Yeah, absolutely. The time required to put up a greenfield facility is about 2 years time. So so with the uncertainties around the world, we think prudently to not to be in a hurry and go ahead and expand this. But so we are watching very closely. So by end of 22, in case it's required, we decide. So we'll have the capacity ready by end of 24, by which time we would have crossed 85% and more capacity utilization.
Sure. Okay. And sir, like the way you have mentioned in the PPT as well, and also in your opening remarks about the North American railroad opportunity, and you're saying that around 75 crores per annum of potential in 1 to 2 years. So at least for FY23, we should not factor in any kind of revenue. If at all anything will happen, should come only from FY24. Again, would that be a safe assumption to make?
No, there will be some part of the 75 crores will happen in FY23 for sure, maybe 10-15 crores, but that peak of 75 will come in about 2 years time.
FY25?
Yeah, around that time.
Okay. And sir, I've been reading your annual reports for last almost now 10-12 years. You have talked about this opportunity multiple times in your annual report. I believe that multiple times you also went to the stage of even developing the product, and then the opportunity never materialized. Now, how confident you are this time that yes, this opportunity will convert into a business opportunity finally?
Okay, there is a difference between the past and now. Now we have formed purchase orders from the customers, mainly from the North American railroad industry. There are long-term agreements signed. So the probability of this getting converted into real business, I would put it as more than 90%.
This is very interesting to hear, sir. My next question would be, sir, in the last downturn in 2014, when we had done that large capex, so I would say suddenly all our order book vanished in a very short period of time. But considering the geopolitical environment, which is difficult for anybody to call out which way things will move, how confident are you of the current order book that you have that you will not face cancellations or deferment?
For FY23, as I said before, we will do substantially better than FY22. Okay. A. B. The commodity prices are all at elevated levels and likely to remain elevated for the coming 3-4 years time. Okay. There may be corrections in commodity prices by 10-15-20%, but they will still be more or less double than what we were in 2020. So considering these factors and a lot of stimulus happening around the world, also keeping in mind the geopolitical issues, what we see around, the industry should be good for the next 3-4 years.
Very interesting, sir. Now in terms of working capital of 143 days coming down from 147 days in FY21, is there a chance to reduce this further, or you believe that this is an optimal number where you would want to settle?
See, in our kind of line, when we ramp up production, there is a time lag of producing and then finishing and shipments. Okay? So we are on a continuous uptrend for past about five, six quarters. So when we are into a continuous uptrend, we tend to carry higher WIP. But once we stabilize at some point, this 143 days, what we achieved in FY22 will be better at least by 20% in FY23.
So close to maybe 110 days kind of a number.
Yes, please.
Okay. My last question to you would be, sir, so now 49.5 megawatt is what you are putting up. So 9.5 megawatt, first of all, so the benefit of this, so the power coming from both the hybrid power plant as well as the solar plant that you are putting up, so power from this plant would start to flow to you from when? That is the first question. And second, so this kind of power, 9.5 megawatt, is sufficient for what kind of capacity?
See, whatever we consume from hybrid, which is 4.5 megawatt, and from the 5 megawatt of solar which we're going to put, the hybrid, we expect it to we start getting savings or we start getting that power, hopefully effective January 23. And for the 5 megawatt solar plant, hopefully effective April 23. Okay?
So that means FY23, nothing is going to happen. It is only in FY24.
Yes, please.
Okay. And last question, so 9.5 megawatt is sufficient for what kind of capacity? 10,000 tons, 50,000 tons, how much?
I would say about 40% of our requirements can come from this. The balance 60% will still take it from the state electricity board.
So 40% means what? So let's say 10,000 tons?
So let's assume if we do 18,000-19,000 tons in FY23, so out of that 40%, we will use from the hybrid power and the solar power.
Very helpful, sir. Very good. Thank you very much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Mehta from Steinberg Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. As far as the segments that we cater to are concerned, so can you provide a breakup of revenue and what would this look like, let's say, when some of the newer segments will start contributing?
Yeah. Is it okay if we tell if you can write to Orient Capital or write to us, and we will have breakup of segment-wise or industry-wise, which we'll share with you?
Okay, sir. Okay. So the other thing that I wanted to ask is, generally, from a very top-down perspective, if you were to look at the overall market size of our products, right, and some of the clients that we have, they are very large companies, and our revenue relative to their requirements and their raw material procurements, etc., I'm sure there is just a fraction of it. The question is, there is an element of large market size and, let's say, share of wallet. So can you reflect on these two as they are relevant to, let's say, steel cast? What is the overall size of our product, and how relevant are we to some of the clients that we cater to, and if we have an ability to increase the share of wallet?
The size of the market for our kind of products in India and worldwide should be about maybe 400,000 tons. If you add the North American railroad, it should be about 500,000 tons. So on the current product mix and our production of 14,000 tons, if you have done it on a 400,000 ton, the percentage is what about?
3% roughly?
3-4%. And whatever we plan to do for North American railroad, which will be also around 3-4%. So now, so you asked about the wallet size. So the wallet size, our market share would be 4-5%.
Understood. And to the customers that we cater to, are we again like we would be a larger part of their procurement for these products, right? Over there, do we have the ability to gain share, or basically we are saying we won't be single source, I believe.
No, we won't be single source, but with the anti-China wave, or you would call it a China plus one strategy, we would definitely be, though we will be the new entrants, but we will definitely be a preferred supplier. And whatever we do, these will be all high-end products. So to answer your question, yes, there will be a dual source most of the places. But this is all happening because of the shift from China.
Understood. So we are gaining market share within these customers.
Yes, please.
Fair. And in terms of, let's say, new segments emerging, right? Like, for example, if I were to look at the product, I would assume that something like defense, etc., would have an element of steel castings required because of, let's say, like made-to-order sort of materials, right? Now, that is not something that we cater to, at least as far as the presentation mentions. So, are there like new segments that could emerge for our product?
There is a huge opportunity in defense in India, but we are not factoring anything now because with the kind of bureaucracy involved and the time it is taking, we might be 1 or 2 years away from it, but there is a top-down push from the government, right from our Prime Minister to Defense Minister and so on. So the entire ecosystem is being developed. So once we have another 1 to 2 years' time, then there are enormous opportunities, and we are developing some parts for defense now. But we don't have a good visibility with the kind of the bureaucracy and the time it takes now.
Understood. And the last question is that, let's say you're talking about, let's say, full utilization in by 26. So within next year, you will have to start planning for the next round of CAPEX. So how do you, can you then share something on your CAPEX plans going forward?
I said sometime back that to put up a greenfield facility is about 24 months time.
Yeah, correct.
Right? So if we decide by end of 22, we can have the facility ready by 24. By the time we would have crossed 85% capacity. So whatever we may need, we will have at the right time. So did I answer your question?
Understood. So you will kind of like start the new round of CAPEX at the end of this year, if I understood it correctly.
We will consider this on the macro situation worldwide with all the geopolitical situation and how our industries would behave over the next 4-5 years. So keeping all this in mind, we will take a call end of this year.
Understood. All right. So I think that's all from my side. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amar Maurya from AlfAccurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot, sir. And congratulations for a very good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sir, I have 2-3 questions. Number one is basically now this revenue of 93-94 crore, whatever we had reported, is this a new run rate from here on? I mean, is there a seasonality kind of thing involved into your business also now, or should we see that this is a steady rate continuing in Q1, Q2, Q3?
Now, there is some sort of a seasonality. If you see our quarterly numbers over the last 10 years, the numbers tend to increase quarter on quarter.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And as I said sometime back, that we're going to do substantially better in FY23 compared to FY22.
Mm-hmm.
We would see a better number in Q1 than what we are seeing in Q4 FY22.
Okay. And secondly, sir, what would be now the closing order book for us?
As of now, as I said earlier, we are sitting on firm orders of more than 200 crores. And this keeps getting replenished every month. So we would have, at least for the next 1 to 2 years, anytime order book of excess of 200 crores.
Okay, so basically you're saying the order intake would be around, let's say, when you say 200 crore replacement, so you are saying the order intake would be around, let's say, 15 crores to 18 crores every month.
No, more, no. If I'm shipping around 37, 38, 40 crores of sale, so every month 40 would go out and another 40 should come, no?
Okay, so that way you are saying.
Yeah, that way.
33 crore, there are three. So, okay, 30 crore a month which you are basically exporting or whatever, delivering. So, you are saying that 40 crore is the every month order intake for you now.
No, I'm just giving a number.
I'm just trying to understand. That is what.
Sure. Yeah. But the arithmetics will work out that way.
Okay. And any guidance for the 23 overall?
As I said, we will do substantially better than FY22. I'm sure when you all attend the call end of FY23 financials, you guys should be happy.
Okay. And sir, if I see in this particular FY22, your basically operating cash flow, because of the huge spike in the working capital, has basically reduced or literally, you know, nil. So how should we see this, you know, operating cash flow panning out over a period of time? And because you have a bit of capex also lined up, so in that regard, I'm trying to understand. So how the debt to equity and other things would look?
Oh, see, debt to equity compared to FY22, what we'll do in FY23 will be substantial better. Because we don't have any long-term debt now.
Correct. So,
the working capital debt of 63 crores, either it would remain same or it might go down.
Okay.
So overall debt to equity, short-term, long-term, should be better than what you're seeing in FY22. And then with improved performance, with better internal cash accruals, we should have more money in our hands in FY23.
Okay. Perfect, sir. Perfect, sir.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, I'd like to remind the participant to limit a question to two per participant. If time permits, you may join the queue for any follow-up. The next question is on the line of Aksh Vora from Praj Financials. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just wanted to know which are the key raw materials of the company which we use, and are we only making steel cast or any other casting, say ferrous casting, or you know, in the products that we deliver to customers?
Yeah, the major materials, the raw materials are, you know, steel scrap and different ferroalloys. Now, when you say different ferroalloys, will be nickel, ferromoly, and other metallics we use for our melting purposes. And then you and other materials which doesn't go inside the product, which are, you know, different kind of sand, different kind of binders. So these are all natural gas which we use for our heat treatments. So these are raw materials which do not go inside the product. And to answer your questions, we make steel castings. The other castings are iron. The other castings are iron castings, aluminum castings, bronze castings. But what we do is highly specialized, high strength steel casting for end user industries like mining equipment, earthmoving equipment, constructions, locomotives, railways, and things like that.
And hello.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Who are the competitors and the same area as we serve?
In the listed space, the steel foundries which are there, one would be Simplex Castings, Gujarat Intrux, PTC Industries, Magna Electro Castings, Villa Engineering Corporation, etc. And there are a lot of other smaller players who are, you know, less than 1/10 of our size, and which are not significant for us.
So, in the entire basket of steel castings per se, where do we stand in the category?
Please repeat your question.
I wanted to know, in the entire basket of steel casting, the players who are specific to steel cast, where do we stand in the category?
So, these are all our peer companies, and we often do some comparison of the financials, and I think we either might be equal, or I don't remember the numbers, but either we might be equal to all or maybe better.
Thank you. So, Vora, requested to join the queue for any follow-ups. We have the next question from the line of Dhaval Shah from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. Sir, just one question. Now, in January, we had a press release stating Mr. Rushil Tamboli has resigned from the post of whole-time director due to his other preoccupations. So, when we are in such a great time and we see such a large opportunity size going forward, and China plus one being the big thing, just want to understand the reason for his resignation, which are the other preoccupations, which are more important than the current, the opportunity in our business.
Yeah, Rushil Tamboli, he's my son, and he joined the company in 2011 after doing his industrial engineering from US. He had been thinking to pursue his own, startup things. So this thought was on for about 2 years, and then it's difficult to, work on his own endeavor and to also look after the operations here in Steelcast. So he had to decide. So he is resigned as a whole-time director, but he will be still on the board as part of representing the promoter family.
Okay. So from the family, yourself and who else? I believe you have one more son, right? How many of them from?
No, from the family, I am the only one handling the day-to-day operations of the company. My daughter is also on the board, but again, she is part of the, representing the promoter family.
Okay. So in terms of seniority, you are the key person right now. Fair enough, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the paucity of time, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chetan Tamboli for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
At the outset, on behalf of Steelcast, I really want to thank all of you for attending this investor call. Thanks again, and with the growth opportunities what we foresee in all our segments, we believe that we are ready for the next level of growth and well positioned to capitalize this and also de-risk the company, reducing our dependence from mining, construction, or towing industry over the next 2 to 3 years' time. So once again, thank you everyone for joining us today. In case you need any more information or any queries, you may contact Orient Capital, our investor relations partners, as well as our CFO or company secretary or myself. Feel free to ask us if you need any clarifications. And thank you once again for joining. Have a nice evening, and look forward to connecting with you again. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in case of any queries, you may contact gnl.fafalia@linkintime.co.in. On behalf of Steelcast Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.